The insurance industry is the backbone of the economy. It's the reason we're able to take risks, and it's the force that helps put us all back together when disaster strikes. So in this podcast, I'll be spending some quality time with key CEOs and leaders to ask them how certain world events can impact the insurance industry and how the industry is impacting the world. We'll also be talking about how they rose to the C-suite. It seems like people either fall into the insurance industry almost by accident, or they have a family connection to it. I'm Meg Green, managing editor of the online insurance magazine Insider Engage, and this is CEO Perspectives. Our guest on today's episode is Sabrina Hart, president and CEO of Munich Re Specialty Insurance. She's a compelling personality with an unexpected personal and professional backstory that encompasses her love of sport, math, and an appreciation of the importance of diversity. Sabrina possesses a deep understanding of insurance based upon working her way up through the industry and her decades of acquired experience. Hi, Sabrina. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Meg. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Where are you from originally?
I was born in South Georgia, so you may have picked up that a little bit from the accent there, Meg. I actually moved to North Carolina, though, when I was about 2 years old and really grew up in North Carolina. I lived there really until my first insurance job when I moved to Richmond, Virginia.
So born in Georgia, but grew up in North Carolina. What did your parents do?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and unfortunately, my father passed away when I was very young, so at 2 years old. So then it was mother and I. That's why we moved back to North Carolina, to be closer to her family, my grandparents. And she returned to college in her late 20s and became an accountant.
And did you always want to get into insurance?
love that question. I have to be honest with you. I love it, and I am so happy I found it, or it found me. But no, it wasn't quite intentional.
So how did you get into the industry? How did you find it?
Well, I actually did have a few credentials, if I might say. I was a math major. So it was kind of an obvious option. Really, insurance was not really on the radar. I chose math as a major because it's what I love to do. And I started out actually being an accounting major like my mother. And I thought, you know what? I really like math. If I have to teach, that would be great fun too, because I was a sports lover. And I thought, well, I can teach and coach. And I also worked part-time at a hospital during college. So my credentials outside of college, after graduation, was I had a math degree and some hospital experience, or at least some folks thought so. And I interviewed with a small regional insurance, professional liability, medical malpractice, and lawyers. And I think my hospital experience and the math degree wooed them. And I started as a risk management assistant. 6 months later, I get a ring from the HR group, and it was a relatively small company. We noticed you have a math degree. We'd love to chat with you about a couple of other opportunities in the organization. An actuarial analyst, underwriting trainee, and also financial assistant to the CEO. That was how I got into underwriting. That ultimately was my choice, is to go the underwriting route.
What is it about math that you enjoyed?
I would say what I loved about that first job was it was a really small organization. So you got exposed to everything. It also was a direct writer. So early in my career, I was also exposed to the customer. And then we also had a broker division as well. So I was able to work both directly with the customers and with brokers relative to transactions. And when I mean exposed to everything, I mean, some of the referrals that we did back then, the referral was to the CEO of the organization. So I felt like it just provided a really broad introduction to insurance.
And just going back briefly, you mentioned you also considered coaching. What sport were you involved in?
I actually tried to play most all of them. I mean, I was from a small town, so before getting to high school, there weren't that many options. But interestingly enough, my mom was always super supportive. And I was actually the first female to play Little League Baseball in my town. So I loved baseball, which I grew to really love softball when I was playing just all female. And I continued to play competitive softball until probably about 15, maybe 20 years ago.
So going back to your first job in the insurance industry, could you say what you liked most about it?
I would say maybe having been a math major, I always loved the numbers. I really loved, and I still do to this day, I love doing a deal. I love doing the analysis to come up with appropriate pricing and the evaluation, the terms and conditions. But I really found early on that underwriting was kind of my thing. And that was probably the discipline within the insurance company that I enjoyed the most. And then I also would complement that with the interaction with the customers and with the brokers. I really enjoyed kind of that balance that it gave me between a technical orientation as well as utilizing interpersonal skills.
And now, as a leader in the industry, do you find any similarities between that and your would-be dream of coaching?
You know, I love that question, Meg. I really do think so, because I think in any leadership role, whether it's direct management responsibility or, you know, an individual contributor leader, you are trying to get desired outcomes from folks. I do think there are a lot of similarities that I kind of rely on. You know, as a coach, you really got to inspire the vision and the confidence in the team. And I think first and foremost, as a leader in the industry, that's really my obligation to the team, is really to kind of inspire that vision. And then also, I think, you know, as a coach, you're constantly trying to build skills and teach plays and things like that. You can very much correlate that to kind of enabling folks and the development paths that we try to assist folks with. So I think there's a lot of correlations between coaching and leadership, actually. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention really the team play, right? You know, the correlation between there and your work and learning to work with people and to succeed with people and to lose with people and to put folks in the best position to score.
And looking out over the in the entire insurance industry, what do you like most about the industry?
I would have to say I'd start with the relationships and the people. I also would say the variety. I mean, I mentioned underwriting was kind of what I loved, but there's so many different things you can do. I also, I think about stability. I frequently say, Meg, to, you know, others or folks considering insurance as a career, I frequently say many of our products are required. So there is a lot of stability in the insurance industry. And I find insurance to be really quite rewarding. You know, if we think about the impact that the industry has really on the economy, and, you know, when things go bad, the insurance, you know, helps individuals, it helps companies kind of restore their lives and their businesses. So I do find it, you know, rewarding in that, you know, you are able to do good.
When you look out over the industry today, What is top of mind for you in terms of challenges facing the insurance industry?
Definitely inflation would be a big concern for us in the industry. You know, I mentioned the people and the relationships is one of the things I love about the industry. So that stays top of mind for me all the time. I'm always thinking about how do we create a brand for the insurance industry that attracts people to the industry. So focusing on, you know, talent and being a preferred career choice is something that's always top of mind for me. A few other kind of probably technical perspectives, definitely cyber, and of course, climate risk. You know, at the moment, property and property placements is top of mind for all of us. And of course, Meg, that would probably evolve into we're still in kind of the arms race for data and the evolution of artificial intelligence and how we kind of manage that. But I also think some of the basics around advancing technology and really optimizing a customer and broker experience and the ease of doing business are a couple of the things that You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about and discussing with other experts and subject matter experts and thought leaders.
What do you see as some of the challenges to reaching that? I mean, the industry is a very complex industry. How do you streamline that process to get a policy for these very big complex risks that you're talking about?
Well, when you think about kind of a target operating model, and I think, you know, this will evolve too over time as we think about even the future of insurance. But you want to be really, you know, the most efficient at the transaction. So creating kind of that preferred experience with that customer or that broker, whether the broker be a retailer or a wholesaler. I frequently say to folks, hey, don't underestimate just being responsive. Just don't underestimate being the first one to respond. So yes, we spend a lot of time talking about technology and the utilization of technology, but we really cannot overlook the human interaction and the importance that makes in any target operating model as well.
So we've seen so much growth in the MGA, MGU space around program business. Is there any concern that the insurance industry might get into trouble from giving away its pen again? We saw that happen a number of years ago. Companies like Legion and Frontier, Reliance, got caught up with some program business fronting companies that didn't behave the way they expected them to.
MGUs and MGAs certainly play a critical role, I would say, in the insurance ecosystem. And of course, you know, strong risk management programs are certainly absolutely necessary and paramount. I would kind of agree, Meg, that there are some companies that may not be doing the proper due diligence on MGAs. And I think, you know, we would see continued fallout around that. But that will create opportunities for those of us with longstanding track records and a performance of, you know, deep due diligence, monitoring, and steering kind of the engagement that we would have with those MGA partners.
So how do you see the insurance industry continue to evolve going forward?
Well, I have, I guess, some personal wish list. One of the things I hope happens within the insurance industry is that we become a much more diverse workforce. Definitely, I think we will evolve around much more diverse skills as we think about how insurance may be delivered, also how the analytics will be supported by data and AI. But I've really appreciated the industry's focus over the last number of years on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's kind of a personal passion that I hope to see continued progress around that. I also think as we think about or as we observe kind of what's happening in the property space, I think we're going to see a lot more focus on loss prevention and resiliency, and we'll certainly see continued transformation, whether that's, you know, operating platforms, artificial intelligence, I mentioned earlier, you know, kind of advanced technologies. And, you know, sometimes, Meg, it's hard for me to get my head around this when you just think about kind of the connectivity we have in the world and the connected devices and the data that actually provides, insurance companies and certainly other industries. So I think we're going to see a lot of progress around transformation where the purchasing experience will become much faster. I also think there'll be focus on efficiency and even harmonizing the value chain among kind of that ecosystem that I mentioned earlier. Also, you know, artificial intelligence and AI and advanced technologies will impact, of course, the claims handling process as well. So I think it's an exciting future for insurance, and I think it'll be highly transformed. But part of me thinks, you know what, I really enjoy the journey that we have been on. And I don't for a second think that all of this transformation eliminates the need for really good people. I know that's a question we get a lot of the times when we're talking about transformation and, you know, does that result in job elimination? I see all of the advancements really augmenting, you know, the great skills that people bring.
Do you think the industry could do a better job of bringing that talent in? I mean, we hear a lot about the talent shortage and and the need to bring in more people?
You know, I do. And I know that many organizations and, you know, Munich Re being one of those is trying to think of even creative ways, you know, to attract folks to the industry. I mean, we're even spending time in, you know, high schools now to really educate folks on the concept of insurance much earlier in their formative years. We also have introduced an apprentice program, which a couple of other markets have been doing for a couple of years. But Meg, I also have a desire. I admit and I also proclaim that, you know, being an employer of choice is a competitive advantage for organizations like Munich Re. But I also think it's an opportunity for the industry to collaborate further to really enhance the brand collectively as a preferred career choice. And, you know, every chance we get to talk about talent, and you see some of that collaboration, like I mentioned, even the apprentice programs and things like that. But I think there's much more we could do around promoting the brand and the variety of careers that are available within the insurance industry.
So, Sabrina, you mentioned that DEI is an important component to the industry. Could you expand on that? Why is that an important focus?
Yeah, Meg, you know, I think that diversity, inclusion, equity is a real strategic issue for the industry, probably not unique to insurance, but, you know, really for the world at large. But in insurance, in fact, maybe I'll tell share with you a little personal story. Gosh, 2007-ish, I think it was, 2008, I was invited to a Deloitte female networking event. And I met all these amazing, you know, young females. And everyone I talked to worked for Deloitte or another insurance company. I was the only one there from my insurance company. So it just kind of sparked my interest around, look, all the demographics say, look, by 2020 then, that we were going to have, say, an excess of 50% of the college grads being female. So I just started thinking, well, gosh, how are we going to attract that talent? And I was thinking from my employer's perspective, because if I were a young female coming into the industry, I might go somewhere like Deloitte that's already showing a commitment to this. So to me, it really resonated as a real strategic issue relative to being able to attract talent. So very much to me is a part of that, the talent discussion that we had had earlier. So really at that time, I, you know, developed a little interest in it. We did a little research. And we made a pitch to our leadership from a strategic perspective, the need to really start to think more broadly about it and to create opportunities to grow and develop. And we focused at that time on gender. And we founded the first employee resource group, which was the Women's Innovative Network. And that was the first of ERGs. This was probably late 2008-ish. And of course, you know how, you know, ERGs have really developed, and we're really focusing much more beyond gender. And Meg, I share with you, when I'm interviewing folks these days, candidates ask me about the DEI program and the commitment. So it's on people's mind. It's a competitive advantage. So, you know, it's a nice thing to do because we should be inclusive because that's what good people do. That's what good firms do. But it's a strategic imperative, too, if you want to attract the best and the brightest.
Do you think your background as the first female on the Little League, on the boys' Little League team, is in the back of your mind when you have these discussions?
You know, it very much could be. I guess another bit of a personal story. You know, I would tell you, until I started thinking about this strategically, I was fortunate. I was, I mentioned, you know, I lost my father at a young age. My mother had four brothers. I was the oldest, or the only grandchild there for a while, for a bit. So I got a lot of attention. And I can tell you, my four uncles were all athletes. So that's where my interest, you know, was born, was really tagging along with them and playing whatever they played. And I didn't really recognize that differences. I mean, I used to say, look, I was almost you know, blind to gender diversity, because my mother always said, you can do anything the boys can do. And, you know, I think from her perspective, Meg, on a, you know, real personal note, I think that she probably was very intentional, without letting me know, of creating that confidence that you can do what you want to do, because, you know, she found herself at a you know, very young age being a single parent, and without education at the time. So I think probably she always had that in her mind, just to see, you can do what you want to do, and if it's not available for the girls, we can do it with the boys. So I feel really fortunate, and you know, I kind of commit publicly that I will try to do my best to continue to, you know, pay it forward and to really continue to emphasize the strategic importance of a, you know, of a diverse workforce. And additionally, it's going to be necessary because our customers are diverse. You know, those buying our products are diverse, and, you know, people want to do business with folks that understand them and understand their communities. So I think, you know, it really is, it has significant strategic importance in my mind.
In this episode, I've learned why Sabrina Hart's sports background has helped her coach winning insurance teams, and I'm inspired by her story as the first girl on a Little League baseball team and how she views DEI as a competitive advantage. For more information on specialty insurers, visit our website, insiderengage.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tell your friends. And you can register on our website to be notified of future episodes when we'll speak to another industry leader to share their insights and their story of how they rose to the C-suite. Thanks to Sabrina Hart for speaking with me, our producer Richard Myron at Earshot Strategies for always making us sound good, and my Delinian colleagues, Goran Panzik, Celine Frost, Kareem Magero, Michelle Heatherly, Emma May, and Pierre Agabala for their help and support. For Insider Engage, I'm Meg Green.